Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me a little bit more about the cross. Last week we spoke about the cross some, how that God chose the cross. You know, he could have chosen so many other things, and we mentioned this last week, about how that the Lord could have chosen the rich, he could have chosen the powerful, he could have chosen the wise and intelligent, and all of those things the Lord could have chosen if he wanted, but he chose the cross, and he chose the cross for his son to die on. You know, he could have chose for his son to come and reign on a great throne, but he didn't. He chose for him to come and be crucified for us, for our sins. He chose for his son to bear the infirmities of the flesh just like you and me. He chose for his son to have temptations like you and I have. And he chose for him to be tempted in all things as we are, that he might be a merciful and a high priest that has compassion. And so we find that that was God's choosing. He chose the meek and the lowly over the high and the mighty. He chose that. God chose that this morning. He chose the cross. He chose to come in on a donkey instead of in a chariot. And so this morning, I just want us to look at a little more of the picture, not just of the cross, but this morning, last week we talked about the cross and how that if we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to have to take upon us the cross. Folks, that's God's choosing. It's not our choosing, but it's God's choosing. And he chose for us to deny ourselves and take up our cross, which is different for every one of us, and follow him. But the one thing it is that we all have to give up what we are, who we are, our situation. We have to give that to the Lord this morning. And so those are things that God has chosen. And we read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 1 and 27. We read a number of scriptures there. But it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's God's wisdom. That's his business. He chose it, and he could have chose something different. But he chose that this morning. And that's what you and I have to come before him with, the cross. That's what we have, the cross. We have a song, I think it's number 300, but we quoted the last verse of that last week, and it says, oh, the cross has wondrous glory. Oft I've proved this to be true. When I'm in the way so narrow, I can see a pathway through. Didn't the Lord tell us that there would no temptation take us but such as is common to men? But he said he will with the temptation make a way to escape. The Lord said he would do that. And so he says, he goes on to say, and how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross. Thou needst not fear, for I've tried the way before thee, and the glory lingers near. Do you know that we don't only take the cross, but we get the glory with the cross? And so Jesus many places told us we have to take up our cross, but did you know that there is a reward to the faithful? There are so many rewards, not only in the life to come, but in this life. And I just want to look at a few things, at a few places. And folks, serving God is not a doctrine of works only, but it includes works. And James tells us plainly that faith without works is what? It's dead. There isn't anything to it. It has no life in it. But do you know that the Lord wants to give us some things, and it's through the cross, but he is a rewarder. In Hebrews 11 and 6, I want to just look at a little scripture here that we're all so familiar with. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, I just want that to settle down into our mind this morning. Do you know that the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Do you know that he doesn't call for anything that he does not aptly and much more than aptly reward us with, reward us for? He does that. And we have to realize that. I was thinking this morning, I took training at ACE for the school, and they taught us a lesson that I'll probably never forget. And so here were all these educators in there, or most of them were principals or something, and they were they gave us work to do, and they acted like we were children. And so in everything we did, you know, if your seat wasn't pushed up just like it's supposed to be, then you got demerits. And if you did certain things, you got rewards. And I was really amazed that at the end of it, because they told us we're going to have, you know, all your merits are going to be... they're going to be turned in. Now, I know that the gospel is different than this, but I'm just bringing out a point. You know, I was surprised at how much, when we got all done, then we had our merits there. It was like, hey, you know, and these little old pencils and all of this stuff. To see grown people looking at those things and enjoying that was really kind of funny. But there's something that we picked up right there and realized, you know what, motivation really does, it really does work when there's a reward. Well, do you know that God knows that too? And though we don't work and get paid and all of that in the same way, folks, God doesn't call for sacrifice from me and you and for us to take up our cross without giving us some of his glory. I want to tell you, I believe the Lord wants us to recognize that he pays very well. And all of our sacrifice is something that if we do it unto the Lord, and if we do it in his will, do you know that he will repay? The Lord will do that. I want to read a number of places where Jesus said that this morning. First, let's look at Hebrews 12 and 2. We're over there already. And it says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know that the scripture tells us, goes on to say, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. You know, they contradicted Jesus. They came against him. They, one of his 12, turned and sold him. And sold him to the authorities. That's what Jesus endured. He endured the contradiction of sinners. He endured a lot. But it says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, you've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, sometimes we think our little battles are pretty big. But you know what? Jesus endured some things. And it tells us here to look unto him, that he saw that for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy that was set before Jesus? What was it? He saw the cross. He knew he came for that very purpose. But you know, before him, he saw the salvation of the whole world. That was going to be what that brought. That was going to be what it brought about. And then he was going to go back and sit on the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus knew all of that. And he knew that this was just a little 33 years, and that's it. He knew that he was going to have a short space of time. You know, you and me are going to have a short space of time, folks. Do you realize that the same God that gave him this reward, and he saw it out there before him, he knew that God had given him that this was his task, this was his job, but for the salvation of the world, for the blessing that was to come between him and his people, for the blessing of being at the right hand of the throne of God, he endured the contradiction of sinners. Folks, we're going to have to all endure different kinds of things. Every one of us have. Some people endure affliction all through their life. They're born, this young man we've been requesting prayer for. You know, all from the very start, it seemed. I think from the very beginning, was it not? He had troubles. And you know, he may have troubles all through his life. You know, there's things we have to endure. But I want to tell you something. If we can get our mind and realize God is a rewarder of the faithful. Did you know God is a great rewarder? Not only over there, but here as well. Let's look at Luke 14 and 12 to 14. We might be a little surprised. I didn't even try to be complete on this. I just found the scriptures that came to me that I felt like the Lord was working with. It says here, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot be recompensed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." You know where Jesus was here? He was at one of the chief Pharisees' house, and he was eating dinner with them. And we all know a little, most of us, about the Pharisees. They had a little clique, if we would call it today. And they were the powerful. And they were the rich, many of them. And they were the leaders of the day, many of them were. Not all of them. But, you know, we find here, this was one of the chief of the Pharisees. And Jesus told him something here. He said, when you make a feast, well, the first, verse 12, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends. Now, do you think that Jesus meant that we're not ever supposed to call our friends to a feast? We have to understand what Jesus was speaking of here. This man was doing what they did. They called together their friends and they patted one another on the back, and they had this little prestige and all of these. That was wicked in the Lord's sight. That was wicked. That's why he said what he did. Don't do this, he's telling them. He said, I want your heart to be one that is all about other people. I don't want you to be lifting up yourself. I don't want your life to be about yourself. I want your life to be about those when you call a feast. Now call the poor. Now, I believe that he would have been fine with calling your friends in. I think the scripture would bear that out well enough. Jesus had dinner with his 12. He had several. He had Peter and James and John. They were kind of his little in group, wasn't they? They were. When Jesus went somewhere, when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, who did he call? When he went to Gethsemane, who did he take with him? When they ate together, they ate together sometimes, all the 12. And we see that Jesus had close confidants and or close friends and those that he trusted and he loved, and they loved him. But Jesus' life wasn't about this hierarchy in that group, was it? In fact, he told them, don't be like that. Don't be like that. The greatest is supposed to be, you know, as the younger. The greatest are supposed to be the servants. He said, I am among you as one that serveth. And so Jesus' heart was to serve people and to help people. Do you know that he wants our heart to be like that too? If we want our life to be all about our fun, our joy, our hope, our successes, all of those things, folks, we're going to miss it. I believe we're going to miss a lot right there. But the Lord wants us that when we call a feast, call those that can't return it. And I've seen that done many times. Call those that don't feel like they're on the in group. Take your time and speak to those that aren't on the in group. Do you know that the Lord wants us to do those things this morning? He wants you and me to have much more in our heart and life than about our little thing, our little special group. And so he said, they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Wow, what a word is that? Jesus said, I'm gonna pay you, all right. That's what recompense is. I'm going to give you something for this at the resurrection of the just. Isn't that? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, folks, if we're going to follow the Lord, we're not going to be able to expect to arrive at a place where it's all cushy all the time. We enjoy the good things God gives us. But, folks, I want to tell you, at the resurrection of the just, we're going to be recompensed. And so our life is about more than ourselves. Now, listen to this. Hebrews 11 and 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I want to remind you, last week we talked about the cross, the part that deals with separating us from, you know, the thing, we look different, we are different, the different life that we now have as from the Lord. Those things are a cross sometimes, aren't they? But this week I want to talk about a little something different. You know, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Who was Pharaoh's daughter? One of the richest people in Egypt, perhaps. Right there close to the throne and all the glory of the throne. And Moses, he refused all of that, didn't he? And I'll tell you what he chose. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For what? For a season. Folks, we have to understand this if we're going to serve the Lord. We have to understand it if we're going to give ourselves completely to God. Because the pleasures of sin are for a season. But the resurrection of the just, how long is that for? It's forever, isn't it? And there's so many other blessings before that. But esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now Moses esteemed these reproaches as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He saw that and he esteemed that. It was up in his mind. This is worth more. He esteemed it as worth more. And so, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Wow. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now I want to tell you something else that Moses had a reward in. Moses had a heavy load. Moses had to bear the load of many people. So much so that his father-in-law, which was not even a Jew, finally told him, Moses, you need some help. Okay? Moses had that. But do you know that when they came up to the Red Sea, God spoke to Moses and he told him exactly what to do, didn't he? You tell those people to go forward. And he told him, you know, all along the way, we see that the glory of God would cover the place, and then he would come down and visit with Moses. Don't you think that would have been a pretty awesome experience? Don't you know that, now I know he struck the rock in the wrong way, but don't you know the Lord gave him a recompense, didn't he? He called for a great sacrifice, but I want to tell you, he gave him a great reward. I'm persuaded that the rewards of the Lord are much greater, even in this life, than the things that we see around us. And even if it's not, the recompense of the just is, I think, worthy of consideration this morning. In Matthew 10 and 39, just want to get a little bit here of the mind of God and what the Lord told us. Matthew 10 and 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. This is what Jesus said. You want to find your life? You want to find the precious things of life? Then lose your life for the Lord. That's the way to find it. And he goes on to say, he that receiveth me, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. Did you know this is what Jesus said? When you receive one of the disciples of the Lord, you're receiving the Lord. Did you know that? And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You're receiving God when you're doing that. And he goes on to say, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Do you know that when you see one that God has his hand on and you minister to them, do you know you have the same reward they have? That's what Jesus said. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple because of the Lord, he says, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Do you know that the Lord is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him and that do his will? Now, I don't know what all these rewards are, but I will tell you that God faithfully rewards his people constantly. We don't want to speak of the cross without speaking of the glory. I will tell you this, when God calls you to do something that you can't hardly do, and it seems greater than you, and it is, and he begins then to work through you. Do you know there is awesome, wonderful payment in that? Do you know what it is? You know what it's like when the Spirit of the Lord comes down and begins to speak with you and commune with you? That's something very awesome, isn't it? It's something very rich. It's something you don't just lay down lightly and you don't forget. I want to tell you, when the Lord spoke to Moses, that was a very special thing. When he worked through him, and I will say to all of us this morning, when we leave our life behind and we suffer the cross. Now, the cross is where Jesus died, right? He died to his life. He died to who he was. And that's what he's calling for us to follow him, to take up our cross and follow him. But when we do that, I want to tell you, the Lord begins a whole new life. When he calls you to a level of sacrifice, do you know he pays in ways that we don't even know? I believe this. I have seen the Lord fight for us in ways that we could not have done. I know that there were times that I was at wit's end. Many times, and I had forgotten that's in the Bible. wit's end. Do you know that I've been there plenty of times? But do you know that if you will let God have His way in your life, He will fight your battles? Do you know that when you get to those points, that He will speak to you? Many times, folks, we don't take up our cross and we fail to receive the glory. That song, number 300, Beulah, I believe it is, it says, "Oh, the cross has wondrous glory." That's not found in cushiness. That's not where it's found. It's found in the cross. Now, if the Lord gives us ease, that's okay. If the Lord gives it to us, share it with others. Call the feast. Invite the maimed. Invite the blind. Invite those that enjoy it and share it. It's a blessing, folks. These are principles that if we don't understand, we will suffer. We will suffer this morning. And so we want that prophet's reward, don't we? We want the righteous man's reward. Are we talking about living by works? I think our works is mixed with our faith. There is a place, and if you read that whole of Matthew 25, you find three scenes there that all speak of the judgment. The first one being where they had to have oil in their lamps. There had to be something in here burning. There had to be something alive. That was one. Another one was that God gave, He said, it's like a man that leaves his, like a Lord that leaves His stuff with his people. And you know what? He's left you and me responsibilities. And He's going to come back to see what we've done with those responsibilities. And the third one speaks, and I'll read some of that here in a minute, but it speaks of those that I was in prison and You came and visited me. I was sick and You visited me. And He speaks of those things. Do you know that those things are important to the Lord? And so this morning I just want to bear on that and ask the Lord to to teach us His ways, because I believe His ways are right. I believe His ways work. His ways are a blessing in our life. But many times we don't understand where that blessing is, and we seek it in the wrong ways. The way we seek the blessing of the Lord is to take upon us the cross. That's where the glory of God is. Give Him our life and take our hands off. That's where the blessing of the Lord lies this morning. Okay, Matthew 25, I want to read a little bit from verse 31. Now, this is Jesus speaking. It's not me. I mean, we can say, we can have a problem with this, but folks, listen, we've got to understand the ways of God. It's very critical and important, because what we think of the ways of God is the way we're going to try to serve God. If somebody thinks it's all works, that's what they're going to do. If they think it's all faith, that's what they're going to do. But the Lord wants us to understand His ways. His ways are a blessing, and He has glory. He has honor that follows it, the blessing of the Spirit of the Lord upon our lives. That's honor. Okay, starting at verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." Now He's speaking of a judgment scene here. "And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." Now, this is what Jesus said is going to happen. "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. Then the righteous answer, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Jesus said that. That's the third illustration in that one chapter of what the judgment scene is going to be like. And he said, this is what it's going to be like. I'm going to come back and I'm going to divide between mine and... And sometimes people only think, well, I just need to be honest and true. And folks, the Lord is looking for us to take up his cross. Now, I'm just speaking Jesus' words here, okay? But listen, this is critical to our life this morning. He said, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I told you I was going back. I can see Jesus saying this. I told you I was going back, and I was going to prepare for you a place. And I was going to come back and receive you then. Do you know that when we get in Jesus' vein of life, we find that that is where the glory is. It's not the glory of this world. It's not the glory that I've attained something, but it's the glory of God's blessing. It's the glory of His Spirit. It's the glory that He gives and the blessing that He gives in so many ways. And then it goes on, and I don't suppose I'll read the rest of that, but it talks about here, then shall the, let's see, and the king shall answer and say unto them, I'm sorry, verse 41, then shall he also say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. And it goes on, and we know the story. But my thought this morning is not so much on that. The Lord wants to give us, He wants us to know He is a rewarder of the faithful. Now, many of us can't do what others can. I think about Anna in the Bible, in the New Testament there, where Jesus came into the temple, and it says that Anna just gave herself continually to fasting and to prayer. Well, you know that Anna did something that most people don't have the opportunity to do. We have families. We have prayer. We have fasting. But Anna had an opportunity that many of us do not have. We have many responsibilities. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, I can't do all of these things. You know what? The Lord's not. The idea here is not that you get out there and just do all the things that you can do. That's not the idea of the Lord. But folks, the Lord wants our heart to be one that serves other people. He wants to change our heart from one that thinks only about self and selfishness and my things and my thoughts and my happiness to those that don't have those things. The Lord wants to change our hearts. And He wants us to be willing to impart. And all through the Word of God, it tells us that. From the very beginnings, we find that back there. With Moses, we find that. How that they taught, you saved. Do you know that the Lord told them to save not only for themselves a tithe, but there was supposed to be a certain amount saved so that when you go to the feast, now we might call them camp meetings today, kind of, that you can take the poor with you. And so they can eat too because they don't have anything left to be able to do that. Do you know that that was from the very beginning? And so we see a little into the mind of Jesus. Not only does He want us to have oil in our lamps, not only does He want us to operate in the gift that He's given us, But he also wants us to have a heart that opens to other people continually. And I want to tell you something. There's glory in that cross. There's anointing in that cross. That's where many times you feel a deepness of joy that is a special deepness. It's a special experience. I want to tell you, it comes from the cross. When we serve the Lord with all of our heart, He gives to us of Himself. And when God gives of Himself, folks, it's a reward. It's worth something. It's something that you look at and you realize, oh, how I want that. He fights for you in ways you don't even know of. I believe He does that. I believe when something would happen that might happen ordinarily even, the Lord sends His angel to fight many times for you and me. I believe in this morning. The Lord help us today. And so that's why, and we mentioned this scripture last week, John 12 and 24. That is part of why Jesus said here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," and He was speaking of Himself here, but He was telling us something very important for us to understand. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now that corn of wheat, as we said last week, we know that one little kernel is planted. And how many come up? Do you know there's some plants that come up that will bear tens of thousands of seeds over its life? Maybe, I can't remember. I think it's far more than that. But do you know there's some kinds of plants? Now, maybe not every plant is the same. Just like Anna, we can't all do the same thing. But I want to tell you that your plant will bear, and it will bear far more than you planted. But it bears in a different season. And that's what sometimes we have trouble with. The cross was one day in Jesus' life. In fact, it was years of His life. But the glory, how many, what have we been? About 2,000 years almost, right? And He is still receiving. Now I want to tell you, if we don't get our eyes on these things, then it will seem heavy. But do you know that when your eyes are upon the blessing of the Lord, upon the reward of the faithful, it changes the picture dramatically. And we've all seen that. We've seen it with people that fall in love. And they'll drive all night long so they can visit with their love. And they'll visit for 12 hours and drive all night long or whatever, or maybe get a little sleep. And they'll drive back. And then they'll go to work. And they'll be happy they did it. Why? Because their eyes are not on their sacrifice. Their eyes are on the reward. Their eyes are on what they love. Folks, do you know the Lord wants us to fall in love with Him and with His ways? You know that the Lord wants us to fall in love with the things of God and love those things? I believe He does. And I'll tell you, after a life of many years of following this kind of life, do you know you look back and you just have hundreds of pleasant experiences. Oh yes, there's the cross. Oh yes, there's the marks in the hands. There's the things. But I want to tell you something. The cross has wondrous glory. Oft I've proved this to be true. When I'm in a way so narrow, I can see a pathway through. Folks, let's remember that today. It'll change the way we do business in our life. And I'm talking about not money, I'm talking about everything. It'll change the way we handle our life this morning. And so we see here, if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And He says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Or not hate yourself, not hate your life in that way, but you love it less. You hate it in the respect that you cut off its feed line and feed something else. And that's the things of God. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Remember, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, not counting it worth anything. That's what it means. He despised it. The shame, I can go through it. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. But he despised it, didn't he? It wasn't where he was. And so, when we take the cross, folks, it's going across the grain. It's losing the identity that we would have in our own flesh. It's doing God's bidding above our bidding. It's giving up ours. And I will tell you, the trade-off, I believe, is pretty outstanding. It's outstanding. The trade-off is outstanding. We give a pea and receive a mountain. And that's hardly even enough there. All right. Make it the pattern of our life. Be willing to give up for the Lord. Whatever it is, we're not talking about going up and going and saying, Lord, surely I've got to do something now. I've got to get rid of. Start living more and more the life that the Lord wants. It doesn't mean we have to get saved again. Sometimes we just need to take up our cross more than we've been taking it. We need to die to ourselves more. Live the life of the Lord more. Sacrifice more. That's where the glory lies, folks. That's where the glory lies. That's where the honor that God gives that fights our battles, that's where he lives. That's where he is this morning. Okay, now Paul, I'll try to get on through this before too long here. Paul, he said, the Lord told Paul when he met him there, and he met Ananias, and he told Ananias, I will show him how great things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Now that was Acts 9, and it's in 15 to 16 there. The Lord told Ananias, I've got to show Paul what things he's going to suffer. And so I want to read a little of what Paul went through, 2 Corinthians 11 and 23. Listen to this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons. Let's see. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Paul went through some things. When he wrote this little word here. In stripes. Wonder how many times was Paul beat? I think, didn't he say 5 times that he was beat with 40 save one, I believe. 39 stripes. That wasn't with a little belt, folks. Paul knew what it meant to hurt. You ever hurt this morning? You ever suffer for the Lord? What do we suffer from? Somebody don't like us? All a little relational, a little issue, a little something we've got to submit to that we don't want to. Our boss is mean. What do we have to suffer? That we look different, that we act different, that we go different places. Paul said he was beat 5 times with 39 stripes. In prison for years. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. It's here, I'm sorry. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. I wonder what it was like to be beaten with rods. I don't want to find out. But I can only imagine they weren't trying to be nice to him. They weren't trying to be careful not to hit him in the wrong places, and they were hitting him hard. He was, it says, stoned. And one time they left him for dead. Well, we killed him. We're done with our job now. Paul endured these things, didn't he? Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You mean the servant of the Lord was enduring some of these things? I will tell you what Paul had his mind on. Something besides this, didn't he? He had his mind on something else. But all along the way, we find Paul and the Lord blessing him. I want to read in a minute just a little bit of that. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know what? That was pretty heavy. Paul had all that to deal with. All the problems, all the things that when you have people, people have problems, right? We all have problems, don't we? We have to work through them. The Lord has to help us. Well, Paul had a lot to deal with. And he said, who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And then he talks about being let down through a window in Damascus. Paul knew those things. But do you know that I never read in Paul's writings about this head hanging down, about all this, oh, you can't believe what I've been going through. You just can't believe what I've suffered. No, Paul suffered some things, but folks, he said, I'll glory in my infirmities. Jesus taught him that, didn't he? When Paul had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan buffeting him, the Lord said, Paul, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. My grace is made perfect. I'll read that here maybe in a minute. Starting now, let's read on in verse chapter 12, just reading in the same reading. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now Paul's talking about a little different part of it. Same reading here. He's going on to tell the glory side. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. That's speaking of himself. It's very plain. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buff me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Why was this? To bless Paul with, to keep him humble, to keep him down seeking the Lord. We have any thorns in our flesh? Maybe the Lord let them be there. Maybe God knows we need a thorn, so we'll get there. Maybe he knows that we need something to keep us on our knees praying. Are we going to despise the cross? Are we going to say, oh, you can't believe I was beat 5 times. You can't believe what the Lord let me go through. Or are we going to say, I will glory in my infirmities. I will glory in the things that makes me be driven to my knees. I will find the Lord richer than ever in these things. Oh yes, does he sometimes let things happen? I'll tell you, when things don't happen, I get worried. If I see somebody that only sails on a sea The Lord lets things come to us, folks, to humble our hearts. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Folks, you know the Lord, Paul got a hold of something. He got a hold of something wonderful that saved his soul. God saw he needed it. Let's don't draw back from the cross. Let's don't draw back from the things God allows in our life. Do we think that God just allows anything? He only allows what he sees will benefit us. And that's all. Folks, that's the truth of it. These are things for us to open our arms to. Lord, I'll take your cross and I'll take all of it. I'll take my cross. I want to go to heaven. And get our eyes as we see that Moses did, and set our eyes on something much greater. There's a goal out there, folks. There's something awesome beyond the pale in the resurrection of the just. Do you know what it's going to be like? You know, if we lose sight of that, we'll lose our footing. We have to keep our eyes on the goal. We have to keep our eyes on the fact that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and he will reward your life and mine. He's going to do that, and I believe the Lord's going to give us many things. Paul spoke there of his little visit to paradise. Paul visited paradise. That's what he says. He was drawn up to paradise. And there, I've never visited paradise. I would love that experience. I don't know if I want to go through everything Paul went through. But I'll tell you what, that was an awesome thing. Do you know Paul had a lot of other things? I'll just quote these quickly. In Romans 15 and 19, it says, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You know that Paul saw mighty signs and wonders all through his ministry? We might not see exactly the same things in the same way. I've seen many mighty things. I've seen the Lord heal instantly. I have seen the Lord, I have experienced it. I have seen the Lord do things. I have seen him work in ways that just took my breath away. I could not believe what I just saw. And I'm not just talking about bodies-wise. Spiritually, physically, financially, I've seen the Lord do those things. Paul says in Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How much would people pay for peace? How much would the world pay for peace? Folks, those that are going to the jail, how many tears do you see cried? Do you know that in the jail is not the only people that cry? Do you know that if you walk down this street right here, you could knock on 10 doors? And I'll guarantee you a real significant amount of them could share a lot of tears with you. I find that to be true. I find it to be more true than I can hardly believe. Folks, Paul talked about the peace of God. That what? Which passeth all understanding. He's talking about a peace here that wasn't dependent upon those things happening just like he wanted them to. Asa was a man that took God's way. When Asa came to the throne, he began to set things in order for the Lord. He began to throw out the wickedness and tear down the altars to idols and take down the high places, those places that was in a high place instead of in God's place. Do you know Asa began to do that? And the Lord gave him this message: Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And do you know that the Lord did reward him and gave Asa great reward in his life? And you read the stories of the kings. You read the stories of those that took God's way at the peril of their life. Daniel, the three Hebrew children, Joseph, so many. And you see that. What kind of reward is that? It's pretty great, isn't it? We've got to keep our eyes on the reward. Folks, I thank God this morning for the gospel. I thank the Lord for the blessing of the Spirit of God that comes upon our life. We're not talking about trying to go out and work. So, Lord, I want a blessing here. I'm going to go out and do. We're talking about giving our heart to God and His way and His will and His cross. And then He will call upon us and open up doors, and we can be His servant, and we will find there much glory in the way. And I thank God for that. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'm looking for that one day. I think that's going to be a pretty awesome time. I've got some more things to die to in this world before that day. I'm going to have to suffer some more crosses before that day, and you are too. And the Lord help us to keep that in mind. Amen.